Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed and where my faith grows stronger and where I learn how to be an overcomer. It's important that you say things with us when we make confessions. If that seems strange to you, maybe at the place, the church you grew up or something, they didn't do this. Well, this is not a new thing. This has always been the way it works. But even hundreds of years ago, the church got away from it. Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. He works with what we say. And words affect things in this world, in our life. The Bible said that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and that your tongue and your speaking is like the rudder on a ship. It's like a steering wheel in a car. If you want your life to turn around, if you want something to change and go a different direction, you got to quit talking like you've been talking. And you got to quit calling things the way they look and feel. And you know, maybe you've been getting more and more in debt and worse shape financially. And, you know, you can just hold the wheel straight ahead towards worse and go, man, it's awful. It's getting worse every week. I don't know what we're going to do. But it's like somebody, you know, that's driving north and they say, but I don't want to go north. I want to go south. Well, we'll turn the wheel. Oh, I don't believe in turning the wheels. well, then you're going to keep going. Is that right? And you'll hear people say, well, I don't believe in that confession stuff. Well, sorry. Just keep having what you're having. But if you can begin to say, no, I'm going this way. I'm coming out in Jesus' name. I call every bill paid. I call every need. Can you see what's happening?
Yes.
Now, a big ship, especially in rough seas, when you turn the rudder, it doesn't just flip around. I mean, it'll start turning. And if you've been going the wrong way a long time, don't expect to just flip around instantly necessarily, but get it going that way. And keep your words, and not just saying something off the top of your head, saying what He has said, saying the words of the Lord over you. He does not say you are a failure. He does not say it has to get worse and worse. The path of the just gets brighter and brighter. He gets better and better. Somebody said out loud, it's getting better and better.
It's getting better and better.
For me and my life.
For me and my life.
It's getting brighter and brighter.
It's getting brighter and brighter.
Better and better.
Better and better.
To the glory of God.
To the glory of God.
All things
are working together.
Are working together.
For my good.
For my good.
And God's glory.
God's glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, don't let this be the last time you say that. Father, we join together today in prayer and faith, asking you for the utterance, the direction, the guidance, the answers for today. Reveal yourself, your will, and your ways to us that we may be delivered from wrong thinking and religious ideas of men that contradict your word, but that we may be established in the truth and free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision, giving one by one 30 reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Said out loud, abundant provision, is always God's will,
for us all.
You know, if you've been with us for a number of weeks now, you say, well, Brother Keith, how many times have we said that? A bunch.
Yeah.
Why are we saying it? Faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
And then when you say it and you hear yourself say it, it registers on you even in a different way.
Yes.
And you know, you feed on this long enough, it becomes permanent.
Yes.
Inside you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you are no longer open to wavering and wondering and doubting about it.
Glory to God.
And when you get like that, things are going to change in your life. Because, you know, you'll be cooperating with God and giving the enemy no place. Does that sound good? And so we've been reason one after another down to our 20th reason in our study. So if you haven't been with us, there are 19 previous points and reasons, and it's some good teaching and preaching if I say so myself. Yes. Go online and go to faithschool.org, and all the previous lessons are there. And we're down to reason number 20, and I don't think I told you last class even what the name of this was, did I? And nobody said a thing. No, y'all are pulling for me. Thank you. But the name of this 20th reason is the wealth of the sinner. We are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the wealth of the sinner. Why do we say that? That's a scripture. That's a verse. And what we began to get into yesterday's class was our 19th reason was the tabernacle. And we saw that when God called for an offering to build His tabernacle, they brought gold by the ton and silver and brass. They brought the finest leathers and finest fabrics and finest gemstones and everything that was needed to make God's tabernacle. And the question is, where did they get that? Right? Because just what, months before? They're slaves. Well, slaves don't own things like that. So how did this happen? Where did they get it? If you've read the scriptures, you may already be thinking where and how. But we're talking about God's will and God's plan. God knew before He ever brought them out that they're going to need building materials, right? For the tabernacle. And this is revelation about Jehovah Jireh, or as depending on how you pronounce it, Jehovah Jireh, but that doesn't go as good on the song. But anyway, it means Jehovah, and Jireh is who sees, the God who sees. And you might say, well, I thought it's the God who provides. It is, but it's the God who sees ahead and provides. And if you think about the word provision, well, it's provision. Provision is before seeing. Does God see ahead? Huh? Does He know not just what you need today? Does He know what you're going to need next month, next year, 10 years from now? Does He know? And does He know, connected with His plan and will for your life, what you're going to need to accomplish that? Yes. Yes. Now, you know, my wife Phyllis and myself and our staff and those with us, we've been at this for 40-some years now. And when we first started out, we had no idea that we would need to believe God for churches and acreage and buildings and cameras and internet gear and all this kind of thing. I had no idea. But I know only, a year or two into our following God and seeking His plan for our lives, in a time of prayer, one time the Lord prompted me to believe Him for two major things, equipment and resources and partners. And this was back in the early 80s, 1980s. And in the time of prayer, I sat there and I thought, okay, I know this is God. How do I do this? And the two things that came to me immediately, and you got to remember when this was, basically 1981 and 2 and that kind of thing, and 3 and 4. The Lord prompted me, believe me for computers, for technology. Well, now, back then, It was monochrome screen, you know, right? If anybody knows about computers, what, 286, whatever that was. It was early days. And who knew that fast forward a few decades, an internet would be the main thing, huh? And all of this. But I did, just by faith, I claimed whatever we needed for computers and technology. And then the Lord dealt with me, aviation. I thought, because at that point, I didn't know anybody who knew anything about aviation. But just by faith, I said, okay, that word too, aviation. And some 10 plus years later, the Lord prompted me to learn how to fly. And one thing led to another and eventually into international ability. And then the Lord dealt with me, claim partners. Well, at that point, we really didn't have an established ministry and didn't have partners for the ministry. And the Lord dealt with me, it's going to require, and that's also His plan, partners to accomplish. God could use one individual. He could move mountains of resources to you without personal individuals being involved. God's got ways, but that's not His plan. In most cases, He wants a lot of His people involved in Him. And you can take a lot of people with smaller amounts and accomplish the same thing, right? As a few people with huge amounts. And this is God's plan. And so the Lord prompted me. And so I talked to Phyllis, my wife, about it when I got home. And we got down on the floor and we claimed partners. We claimed 50. And that seemed big. We thought, I don't know where you'll find them, God, but. And the Lord dealt with us. Now, the first thing you need to focus on is being a partner. Huh? You reap what you sow. Be a good partner. Well, we were partners with a couple of ministries especially that had helped us tremendously, but the Lord dealt with us. Increase it and be faithful. Be there, you know, every month. And be you know, the kind of partner you want to have. And that's in everything in life. You need to be what you'd like for others to be to you. And so I'm saying back there then, you know, 40 years ago, the Lord knew what we'd be needing today, right? And the resources, the millions for properties and buildings and airtime and equipment. And I don't know it, but if you've gone out and bought some of these cameras lately, but they're not cheap. And where's all this come from? Well, none of this surprises God, right? None of it surprise. He sees the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. And He is Jehovah Jireh. He's the God who sees ahead and provides, provision, provides the supply and positions it in your future before you ever have an idea that you need it. This should comfort us. This should give us great confidence and consolation every day of our lives. And when we find out, whoa, we need $1,000. Whoa, we need $10,000. Whoa, we need this. You need to remind yourself, this is not news to God. Maybe you just found out about it, but He knew about it before you were born. Come on, y'all listening. When you go, God, I got to have $10,000. He's not looking at Gabriel and Michael and going, guys, what are we going to do? Did you know this was coming? Are you kidding? God saw and already provided. And if you and I will seek Him and get in His way and stay in His way is already pre-positioned provision. And when you get there, it'll be there. Hallelujah. When you get there, it'll be there. And so when God brought His people, Israel, out of Egyptian bondage, the first thing He did was heal them and give them a bunch of gold and silver and jewels and all manner of things. Why? Because you're going to need that For one thing, you can't be all sick and broken traveling through this barren wasteland desert. I mean, you need to be healthy. Is that right? Yeah. Going through that, or you would make it. And then another thing, God's going to ask you to build him a tabernacle, and then other things. And really, he had them pre-supplied for when they got to the promised land, which was another whole segment of provision just waiting on you to get there. Has God changed today, or is he exactly the same and works the same today? If we really believed this, we'd go ahead and start shouting and being happy today, because God has amazingly good things already pre-planned, pre-positioned for us. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. My God. Is my provider. He is faithful.
He is
able. And I don't lack. Glory to God. I don't lack. Everything he wants me to do, it's already been provided for. It's already been set in motion. All I got to do is stay on track.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Keep listening to him. Keep doing what he tells me to do. And I will intersect the provision. In Psalm 105, look at it again if you would. We saw this yesterday's class. Psalm 105:37 says, he, God, brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Don't look at this as ancient history that's not relative to us today. If that was the case, it wouldn't be in the Bible. It's recorded because it does apply to us. It's very, very relevant to us. What do you mean? Well, them being delivered out of death and bondage is a type of us being delivered and being saved. And them, 1 Corinthians 10 even talks about it, how he brought them through the Red Sea and the type of baptism and all of that. And then the promised land. The promised land is not a type of heaven. Huh? You, people say, yeah, but the song says, well, songs is not scripture. What do you mean, Brother Keith? Sure, the promised land is a type of heaven. No, it's not. It can't be. There were enemies in the promised land. There were walled cities. There were battles to fight. There were huge things, obstacles to overcome. That's not heaven. You planning on fighting battles when you get to heaven? Having to break through walls? And no. The promised land is a type of the full blessings of God in this life. Hallelujah. The land that flows with milk and honey, where you won't lack any good thing in it. That's for this life. That's for the here and now. No, it's not heaven. And so he brought them forth with silver and gold. So upon them being delivered, he gave them resources, material, financial resources, gold, silver, jewels, precious things. And he healed them. And the connection of the healing, notice there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now, there were, 603,550 men of fighting age. Just the men fighting age. Add to that the women, the children, the older people. It's at least 2-3 million people. Some people think it's 4 million. But today, you try to find any group of 50 people with not one sick.
Right.
No, huh? So this is miraculous, right?
Yes.
This is miraculous. And why do it? And what's the thing? Well, it's a type of our redemption. And you know when this happened? It happened when they ate the Passover lamb. If you go back and study, the last thing that happened before they left was the destroying angel went through and destroyed the firstborn in every household even among animals, except with God's people. And there wasn't a one touched because they sacrificed the lamb, and there were two main things they were supposed to do. They were supposed to take the blood of the lamb, and they were supposed to take with a brush and put on the doorway of the entry of their home, the blood, on the two side posts and overhead. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, does that sound? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where Passover comes from. I will pass by your house and not suffer the destroyer to come into your house. And they were told, when you do that, and you apply the blood, you and your family then roast the body of the lamb and get inside the house and shut the door and eat the body of the lamb. Somebody say two things. The blood and the body. Does that sound familiar? Anybody? Does that sound familiar? Huh? And now listen to what he tells them. He says, and eat it. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. Eat it with your bags packed. Eat it dressed, ready to go, your boots on, your bags packed, your staff in your hand. Eat it ready to go. Why? Why? He said, I'm bringing you out tonight. I'm bringing you out. And so they apply the blood, but that's not the only thing. Now you've got to partake of the body. And in partaking of the body, before you do, you get ready to leave. Yeah, but what if you were mistreated by the person who owned you as a slave, and they beat you, and you had a broken foot or something, and you're not able, or you just been mistreated and heat stroke, and who knows the things that a slave people would go through? They're just number without end. But everybody is supposed to eat the body of the lamb. Everybody. I mean, Uncle Jim and Aunt Mildred, and that's been sick for months now and been hurt and been infirm, and they pack their bags too. And they sit down at the table and they partake of the body of the lamb. Oh, hallelujah. They partake of the body of the lamb. And the next thing you know, when they leave that place, you can't find one feeble person in the whole bunch. Hallelujah. They were saved by the blood. They were healed by the body. They were restored by the body of the lamb.
Hallelujah.
Is there power in the body of Christ today? Hallelujah. Didn't he say, by his stripes you were healed? His body was broken so we can be whole. And so that was God has loosed them from bondage and death, and he's healed their bodies. But he's not done. I said he's not done. What else do you need as you leave on your way to serve God? You need to be saved. Huh? Need to be healed. Are we done?
No.
Nope. You need some money. I said you need some money. Don't you need money every day of your life? You need money? Yeah, you need money. You need money for food, clothes, housing. And if God adds to you to do a family or a business or a church, here we need a lot more money. Well, is that a problem for God?
No
problem at all for the God who's already seen ahead, already knows what you're going to need, and already got it converging on you as you follow his plan for your life. You know, that's what happened where the name was announced, where God told Abraham to take his son Isaac up on the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. And when they're going up the side of the mountain, and his son said, Father, you know, here's the wood, here's the fire. Where's the sacrificial animal? And his father told him, God will provide. That's a good answer. God will provide. At that point, he didn't know how. He's willing to do what God's telling him about sacrificing his son. And he's even believing for resurrection. But did God already have the replacement for his son on the way?
Yes.
Because when it came down to it and the angel called to him and stopped him from sacrificing his son, he turns around and here's a ram who's caught in the thicket. Just right there. Handy. Convenient. Huh? And some years ago, the Lord prompted me a question. He said, where was that ram the day before? I thought, yeah. And he said, the ram was on the way. Oh, the ram was on the way. The ram didn't know he was on the way, but he was on the way. Why? Because Abraham and Isaac were on the way. Can you see that? And God knew what Abraham was going to do. And so he had the ram on the way. And by the time he got there and needed it, the ram was right there. Ready. Somebody say, the ram's on the way.
The ram's on the way.
I'll have everything I need. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He brought them forth with silver and with gold. He wanted his people back then to have some money, to have some silver and gold and precious stones, that when he said, all right, bring me an offering and let's build this sanctuary, they had precious things. They could give big offerings. This is somebody who last year had nothing, who was a slave, and now is bringing gold bars. Oh, when did God change? Does God want you and I to be able to participate substantially in His things, in His ministries and His churches and preaching the gospel and reaching people and accomplishing and finishing this work on the earth?
Yes.
Well, is He able to do it?
Yes.
Is He able to get it into our hands? He got it into their hands, a whole nation, millions of people in a day. In a day, went from totally broke to being able to give gold in offerings. I don't think God's lost His touch. I don't think God has lost any of His ability. And I, for one, choose to believe Him and say, here am I. Everybody say it out loud. Here am I, Lord.
Use me.
I believe You.
I'll receive.
I'll obey.
Thank You, Lord.
Well, our time's up again. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390